Hi, folks. Thank you for joining us on Contextual Deviance today. Before we get into today's episode, a quick content warning. For those folks who maybe haven't seen Midsommar yet and aren't familiar with it, the film and by extension the episode in which we are talking about the film contains some very difficult subjects which might not be comfortable for all viewers. Topics include suicide, murder, emotional abuse, trauma, sexual otherness. I don't know. There are some difficult subjects, and if you aren't comfortable with those, or you feel like you don't really want to see those in a movie or listen to someone talk about those things, I mean, we are a fairly lighthearted show, so we're not, you know, going to be dwelling on things too heavily. But just be warned that those are things that are in this movie. I include a summary of the plot of the film in the intro to the episode if you aren't comfortable with sitting through the film. I recommend it. It's a good movie, but, you know, it's tough. You know, if you can get past the first 10 minutes, that's really as troubling as it gets, in my opinion. After that, it's more just kind of like horror movie. But just wanted to put that out there for anyone listening. Didn't want to just drop this and let people experience it without knowing what they were getting into. All right, enjoy the show. Hey, guys. I just watched Midsommar. You guys want to talk? Fuck my toe. Oh, fuck. People are going to be listening going like, what the fuck just happened? What happened to
people
these people?
Watch this movie going, what the fuck just happened?
That's fair.
Running fascists, kill often. It's futuristic, like Carnage the Magnificent. Rewind your VCR, rewind your cassette. Nintendo pilots, flying up ahead. Captain's love, Chalupa gone.
Watto, you have to drink? Well, we got Watto and also Watto.
And also Watto in this Watto Botto.
In this Watto Botto.
I know, right? It's cute.
It's so
Watto's cute.
Watto is so cute.
Here
yeah,
are
I just
the context.
To have a cute selfie on that.
Oh my God, Watto.
Delete
cute.
Later. Welcome to Contextual Deviance. My name is Christian Hagen. Welcome to episode 50, everybody, and 2020, our first new movie episode of the new year. Isn't this exciting?
Yes.
Yay. I am pleased to be bringing you another show with my dear friends and co-hosts, Misters Matthew Bond.
Hello.
And David Gutchy.
Oh, no. I just decided to breathe in, and then I was like, nothing good came, so that's it. Hi, what's up? I'm David Gutchy.
Cool.
I think my new catchphrase is going to be, hi, what's up? My name's David Gutchy.
It's a pretty good catchphrase. You can really only use it like once a scene.
Yeah, once a scene. Mm. I did think the other day, my next cat, I'm going to name them David.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna name my cat David.
All right.
So that when people come over and they're like, "Oh, it was a sweet little cat. What's their name?" I'll be like, "David," and they'll go, "Oh, cool. I'm leaving." So that'll be
brilliant.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I was like, no one has named their cat their own first name, and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be the
somebody
first.
Has to have called their animal like something junior, like
something junior.
Yeah,
yes,
no, I know,
but not no way. Yeah. It is not David Junior.
Does
if George, anyone tries to do that,
does,
I will.
Does George Foreman have any pets?
Because
he's the only one I know.
He's the only one I can imagine doing that.
Yeah.
Or Jermaine Dupri, because didn't he have a son named Your Majesty?
Oh my God,
That's
is that
a cat
true?
Name I've ever heard.
That is true.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That chills me to the bone.
Yeah.
It should.
That's a bummer.
Well, as you've no doubt guessed by now, we're a movie podcast where we watch a movie and then we talk about it through a series of randomly generated critical contexts. So we don't know how we're going to talk about this movie until this little computer on my phone / computer tells me, hey, you have to talk about it like this, and then we're going to do that. That's the show.
That's it.
That's the whole show.
That's it. That's the show.
And this time, we are doing a lighthearted romp for the whole family.
Always lighthearted.
The 2019 indie horror classic, instant classic, Midsummer. Or Midsommar.
Starring Florence Pugh.
Our favorite. I'm glad we get to talk about this movie after we like gushed about Florence Pugh for like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's almost like it's designed.
For folks who listened to our Texties episode where we talked about the year in film 2019, we stan a legend named Florence Pugh, a legend in her time, who is the lead performer in this film. This is a movie that is very, very, very hard for some folks to watch. It's, I think, a very beautiful movie. I think it's a movie that has a lot of really amazing ideas and really, really clever tricks. And it keeps you guessing. And it's a rip-roaring time. But I can totally understand that this movie's not for everyone. So, just as a quick summary for folks who want to hear us talk about the movie but don't feel like they can sit through it. Florence Pugh stars as Dani Arter, a woman who is having a difficult relationship with her boyfriend, Christian. And believe me, it is no fun sharing my name with one of cinema's greatest villains, played by Jack Rayner. They are sort of on the outs. Dani is especially having troubles because her sister has some worrying problems, sends her a very frightening email, and then her sister commits suicide and also kills their parents in the same incident. It is horrific. It's one of the most intense things I've ever seen in a movie. And Florence Pugh is devastated, of course. So Dani and Christian now, after it's a few months later, and after that incident, Christian and his friends Josh, played by William Jackson Parker, Chidi Anagonye, or William Jackson Harper, excuse me.
There you go.
Chidi Anagonye from The Good Place, and Pelle, who is a foreign exchange student, or he's just like a student from Sweden.
He's just a student.
And Mark, played by Will Poulter, and they are going on a trip to Sweden, to Pelle's small village, where they are going to observe a ritual known as Midsummer. That's like a week-long celebration festival thing. And, you know, they're going to be, Jack is going to be writing about, Josh is going to be writing about it. Fuck. Josh is going to be writing about it as part of his dissertation. And so it's like an academic thing as well as a vacation. And then Dani sort of gets talked. It's like really confusing as to whether she's talked into going or whether she's going kind of out of spite or whether she genuinely wants to go. But she goes on this trip with them. It's sort of her first big trip after the death of her family. And then when they get there, turns out, Pele's small village has some very strange religious rituals that they perform during Midsummer that involve a series of grisly murders and ritualistic suicides of people over the age of 72.
Yeah, very
specific. And then there's a bear, but the bear doesn't do anything. It's just a bear.
It's just a bear.
And, you know, throughout the course of the film, she is basically confronted with these haunting images, these deaths, people disappearing from their group, drugs, lots of mushrooms being done, just these really strange occurrences and rituals. And over the course of it, she is sort of, I don't know, kind of convinced or just like cajoled into becoming a member of this tribe, basically.
Yeah.
In the end, spoiler, her boyfriend and all of her friends and a couple other people get burned in a fucking giant barn, and her boyfriend is stuffed in the body of a bear.
Yeah, and you know.
And then she smiles at the end.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other smaller things that we'll almost certainly be bringing up throughout, but that's the general arc of the movie. So if you haven't seen it, and we talk about specifics, you know, context clues, but that's really what the arc of the film is. The tragedy at the start, her sort of trying to work through it, the struggles she goes through with that, and then also the horror element of this isolated Swedish village and their strange religious rites during midsummer.
Midsummer.
Does that seem like, did I miss anything huge?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, I then think so. I think, well, boys, I think it's just about time we get into them old ding-dang contexts.
Let's just do it.
Let's just do what those ding-dang contexts tell us to
go.
Do.
Let's be bad.
How would this be different if it was made 20 years earlier? Or, if applicable, 20 years later?
How would this movie be different if it was made 20 years earlier, which would have been 1999?
I have one idea.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that a lot of the middle of the movie would have, I think it would have been more straightforward. I think this would have just been a more straightforward movie. Mm-hmm. There would not be the layers of Danny struggling with loss of family, and I don't think the relationship problems would be as complex. Like, Christian wouldn't be like this weird... His name's Christian, right?
Yeah. I wish it wasn't, but yeah, it is.
I just had to double check because I was like, "That." Well, I just realized it.
I sort of hinted at it in the... He is a fucking monster.
Oh, he's horrible.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I think he might just be like kind of clueless maybe in like the 90s, but I don't think we would have these good nuances of like asking people to do emotional labor for you and kind of like... It seems like a more modern psychological portrayal of... shitty boyfriend than we would have gotten in a 90s horror movie.
Yeah. We've made a lot of strides in terms of how we talk about mental health.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
I also have a bad feeling that actually he would have been the main character.
Probably.
Ooh.
And everything that would have happened to her would have still happened, but it would have also taken... I feel like 20 years ago, the kind of person who would have made this sort of low-budget horror movie with this many psychological elements might also, unfortunately, make her sort of a villainous character, so that when it comes to the end,
my God,
and Christian's getting burned alive,
and she
smiles, it's like...
Oh, shit.
It's like
it's not triumph.
Yeah. Or it's not whatever complicated emotional. Yeah, right.
No, they're just trying to go for like a Requiem for a Dream. Like, this is all bad.
Yeah, right. It's just like a shock. It's just like a shock horror thing where the bad guy wins, basically.
Yeah, I think like that fits. That totally fits. And that's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm really glad this movie was made right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm into it.
Yeah.
20 years later, I'm intrigued. Why not?
Who knows?
Who knows? But I do think that. I guess we don't. We don't know what kind of things will be on the, you know, the zeitgeist of understanding of humans and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
There are a few aspects of the idea of making this movie 20 years earlier that I think would be a bummer, but also really fascinating to see. So technologically, I think especially it would be different. Because the sort of like weird warping effects and the way the world reflects the horror.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have been able to do it quite as subtly.
Maybe
as they're able to do it in this movie. And I mean, of course, it's not always subtle, but there are moments when the plants are breathing and it's kind of insane.
Although you could accomplish some of those things somewhat practically, depending on I think it might end up looking more like What Dreams May Come and less less subtle like this does.
That's a good point.
But I think it could definitely be achieved. It would just be different.
Well, I also think because of the way the camera technology has evolved, some of the more some of the more specific details in the set design and in the environments that speak so much to the sort of background narrative going on in the film and the history of this village and all these other sort of incidental things might be a lot harder to parse.
It
might be more
interesting.
Maybe they wouldn't have had the inclination to paint every surface of every wall with all of these really detailed
Well, that's pictures. That's back when every home release was in full screen.
So I was going to say,
you lose all that stuff.
Yeah, that's you lose that. You lose fidelity, like in terms of like the quality of the picture. TVs like were smaller. All of that shit. So in the theater, perhaps, it works better. But at your home, might not notice any of that shit.
Yeah, and longer takes. I mean, I feel like that's something that cinema's gotten a lot more comfortable with in the last 20 years.
Yeah, quieter, longer takes, too.
I know that there obviously were moments like that in older movies, but like,
of course,
there would be a lot of score under it, probably like more so than this movie has.
Yeah.
You know, there are moments of silence in this movie. I don't know how much silence there would have been in a 1999 version of this movie.
Yeah. Is there a, can you think of any like vacation horror movies from like 90 to 2000? Like,
see, this is the trouble is I don't watch that many horror movies.
Or even just like,
it's like Cape Fear or like Cabin Fever kind
someone
of stuff.
Goes on a vacation and it goes wrong sort of style things. Cause I don't think I can. And that it's a, you know, as we've discussed, the 90s are a big blind spot for me. I didn't watch a lot of movies that weren't A Bug's Life, but
I think like in terms of,
and I think you were right.
I think in terms of like the dynamic between the college students would be a lot more like, they probably lean into more like raunch humor. So they probably make it a little bit more.
Oh my God, that's so true.
American Pie-ish.
The Mark getting seduced by the young woman would be 100% played up, and probably all of them.
I was going to say that all of the characters,
all
would
of
be
them
that
would
guy.
Be. It would have like a siren that was trying to pull them away.
There's already one character who's kind of that guy.
They'd all be Mark. They'd all be Mark.
It would be a team of Marks.
Midsummer. Oops, all Marks. That's the name of this
1999 edition.
I love this. The Mark cut.
Release the Mark cut.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Mark feels like a almost dated character,
right?
Mm-hmm. In this movie, and he wouldn't at all in 1999.
So they go like right up to the line of feeling dated, and like then he disappears.
Well, and then I mean, I think there's all this like subtext, but also just direct text about the sort of the rivalry between the group of people and Christian's sort of position as like a manipulative guy, and the way he sort of Bigfoot's Josh's dissertation or what is it? His thesis or I can't remember.
I think thesis.
Yeah.
But I don't know what.
And he wants to, he decides halfway through their trip that he wants
he's
to
do the same
do
thing.
The same one. Ugh. Even though Jack's been working on it for a long time.
I hate it.
It's such an awful move. But
it
that kind
so
of
much.
Thing like is such a, it's such an a moment of academic pettiness that's real enough that it really has weight. But also I don't know that they would have gone for that. And like 20 years ago, it probably would have been like, okay, actually, here's a thought.
Ooh, here comes
horror movies. Horror movies often reflect a social commentary about life at the time.
Okay,
this movie we could say Midsommar is maybe talking about sort of
trauma and family.
Like, I also think gender is a big part of it. I think
I think
there are a lot of elements of gender throughout the film, and sexuality. I think the contrast between how their group talks about, you know, the relationships between men and women versus how the village talks about the relationships between men and women and how they're both traditional in a lot of ways, but the women also have a lot of authority.
Right.
It's just an interesting, they contrast that often enough that I think it's an important theme to the film. I wonder what would be some things that in 1999 would compel a horror movie director to make a movie like this, and what would they be commenting on, and how would that affect the film?
Oh, that's a good question. And I don't know if I'm completely equipped to be like, here was the milieu of 1999 and what we were concerned with.
Yeah.
But I think it would have to do more with those as a, like a cop-out. Yeah. Like, I don't know, but...
Well, isolation is also a big part of it, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And that's always scary.
That is always scary. But I think I think it's important that the movie begins with her feeling isolated while also dealing with an email situation. Like she gets this scary email from her sister and she keeps trying to respond, but she doesn't hear back. And it's sort of this one-sided screaming into the void of this thing that is supposedly connecting us. But at the same time, when you can't get an immediate feedback from someone, it is more isolating than it would be if it didn't exist. Which
to
is why when she's in the village,
back
I mean, she wants to get out, but at a certain point she stops even like bringing up the outside world. I mean, it seems like it becomes the village is everything, and it's because they're constantly interconnected and talking to each other directly.
I am very glad that this movie did not have the Black Mirror "Oh No, phones make us bad"
moral going on,
and I do think it is possible that a movie made in 1999 would have had some Luddite fear, like watch out for fax machines, like they're gonna get you. It's possible. I think if it was made in 2010, it would have.
Oh, definitely.
That would have been there, and I'm glad that Ari Aster was like, "Hey, it's okay. We don't need to introduce
this isn't really what this movie's about.
No.
It's just like it's kind of there. I just think isolation in general is more of a theme than sort of specifics of technology,
which I'm into.
Yeah,
dog.
I don't know. This one's hard because I haven't watched enough horror movies.
Yep.
Especially from the late 90s.
All the actors would have been younger.
Yeah, that's probably true. This would have been maybe it would have been a high school movie. No, they probably would have still gone college.
Yeah, they probably would have still been in college. Because you can't be like explicit in the same way with high schoolers.
Yeah, you're right.
I do think, again, something that we touched on is just what people are thinking about at the time and the perception of the issues portrayed. I think the young disabled boy person, what is their name? I don't even remember.
I think it was a boy. I don't remember.
But the prophet kid.
Yeah.
I think that would be, it's already sort of played up in a way that I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this, but it would have been shitty. It would have been like that kid would have been over the top and it would have been a caricature and it would have been shitty.
As it is right now, I'm already like almost there with that. Well, like, I kind of am there with that character in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe don't.
Like, you could have not done that.
Yeah.
And it would have been fine.
Yeah.
It would have still been a cool movie and it wouldn't have been worse. But that's something that I think Ari Aster likes to do. And I'm not sure I'm into that.
Yeah.
But
I think it would have been played up a lot more, though, in like a late 90s movie. Because, that's. I also just did a quick Google roo to see when House of a Thousand Corpses came out.
Oh, yeah.
Because one thing that this movie doesn't really have that a lot of horror movies does have is the kills. See the bodies, you see the corpses, you see the results of things, or
that's
even just
call.
Like the body parts.
Yeah.
Sort of like afterthought. You don't, I think, other than the two people who commit suicide.
And you see Josh get killed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But even that's in the dark and it's very obscured by the hit itself.
You hear it more than you see.
Yeah, that's true.
The sound he makes is just, it's so upsetting.
Yeah.
I feel like Ari Aster really is like the sound horror director. I think when his career retrospective comes out eventually in like 20 years, it'll be like, yeah, he's really good at making sounds that are terrifying, scary.
I don't like him.
Yeah. So I think that might be something that would have been different maybe in a horror movie at that time. I just feel like, I don't know, it feels like the 80s and 90s were a time where violence in movies as catharsis was like a really big thing.
Yeah. Well, and it would have had that like summer camp vibe where like one by one people get pulled away and killed.
Yep.
You see that. It would be slasherish.
Yeah.
Slasherish. Wow. That's a fun one.
That's good. And you actually caught it out, which is better than slasher-ish. I did with intricate.
You did it. You did it. Nailed it on the first try.
A word that I've never had a problem with until just now.
I swear. This has never happened.
I swear. Oh. I don't know. I did you guys have any other thoughts on what this would have been like in 99?
No, but I think slasher with the kind of turned up a little bit because it was the late 90s. But I don't think it would have been that different. I think this movie could still exist.
No.
It would have just been more of a classic horror movie and less of a weird art movie.
Yeah. Classic horror movie with like college humor kind of shit.
Yeah.
It also probably wouldn't have had nearly this budget.
No.
Oh, God.
This was like an $8 to $10 million movie.
Holy shit.
So I don't know. Like, lower budget movies were more frequent. Like, those were made more back then. I think risks on movies like this were taken more back then. Or, like, smaller movies, I should say.
Yeah, right. Well, I suppose.
Like,
maybe
the mid budget.
Balanced out.
Yeah, mid budget horror, I think, was probably doing better then, and then it dipped, and now it's kind of back.
Yeah,
maybe. It's back, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Blumhouse is really... I mean,
it's for real.
As much as people can joke about Blumhouse movies being cheesy, they've done a huge amount of work for the horror community for a lot of other indie movies, too.
Yeah,
for sure. It's great.
I mean, Get Out was a Blumhouse movie, you know? Come on.
Come on!
Come on!
Come on, man!
Come on, give Blumhouse some credit.
And this one was A24, right?
A24, yeah.
A24.
Yeah, we're in a golden age of art house horror movies, man.
You're not wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Every year, it seems like there's a few trailers that just dropped recently that I'm like,
yeah,
that's going to be scary and good.
Right.
Oh, boys, let's do another context.
What's the worst hot take someone could make about this movie?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Okay, well...
What's the worst hot take someone could make about Midsommar?
Okay, I have one. And I think it's...
How about this? How about this? Here's how we can talk about this without it being troubling.
Okay.
Make him silly.
Ooh.
Something that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's patently absurd.
A hot take about this movie.
Something that you can imagine if somebody had a really strong opinion about this on the internet, everyone would be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay. Instead of you're a problem, it'd just be like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Worst, not most offensive. Okay.
It's worst. Worst is the worst.
Worst.
If the trees have faces, they should at least have lines.
Yeah, no. No kidding.
So. I love that as a hot take.
If the trees have faces,
it's like an equal pay kind of thing, but for just like still images in the background for actors who were probably paid.
Close the gap.
That's all I'm saying.
But they didn't get any dialogue scenes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious.
Oh no.
So much better than my actual bad hot take.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think one that... Oh, no, this is realistic too, but I'm just going to put it out there.
Sure.
I can't think of a silly one, so I'm going to put this one out there because it's not mean.
Okay. All right.
I think the worst hot take that you could say about this movie is kind of the Luddite idea, which is like, see, this movie proves that living off the grid and government is bad. Like, these people are happy.
Yeah.
Like, I think someone just coming in being like, I've just learned how to be happy by living like the people in Pele's village. I think that's a pretty bad hot take for this movie because it is so a 180 or even a 360 from what this movie's doing. Like, there are things to be learned about community from the film, to be sure. But they are not, you better stop emailing your sister. That's not the problem.
Look at how much happier
here.
You would be if you had to go into town to use a phone.
Yeah, you would have never walked in on your sister's dead body.
Oh, she never did.
She never
That's
did.
True. She never. We had to.
We had to. As the audience
did.
Had
You're
to walk
right.
in on that.
Oh, we sure did. Dang. Yeah. So that's one that someone's probably had. Someone's probably had that. Hot
well,
take.
Similar to that, I suppose someone could their hot take, and this isn't so much a hot take as it is just a really weird interpretation of the film. Is that it's actually just like a secret DIY home building kind of a special with a horror movie built on top of it.
Okay.
And it's all about all these people being like self-sufficient and like, here's how you cut open
right.
a bear and peel back its stuff. here's how you make these kinds of pies or whatever.
And mushroom teas.
Mushroom teas. Here's how you cast a love spell on someone using your pubic hair and blood.
Yeah,
and
like pie.
The 72-year life cycle becomes like the new Marie Kondo type fad.
Oh my God,
no. That's a bad hot take.
Yeah,
that's a bad hot take. That's like, we should all do that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is a good one. Like, kill people at 72.
72 should be the maximum age.
If you touch your grandma and they don't spark joy, throw them off a cliff.
Hey, does this grandma spark joy?
Wait, that was the plot of The Farewell.
No.
Does this grandma spark joy? No. No, not.
Oh,
not
no,
that.
No, not that.
Goodbye.
Not that. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
Awkwafina jumping into a rock. So that's a good
so
one.
Weird.
And I like that one.
It's a weird take on what we were just saying.
Yeah,
I don't want to leave it too much.
No, it's fine.
I don't want to talk about it too much, but like.
But you can't leave it too
great.
Much either.
No,
I see what
no.
you mean. I see what
can't
you mean.
Can't leave it too much? Can't talk about it too much?
I mean, you got to.
All right, am I right? This PC culture. Can't leave it. Can't talk.
Killing comedy.
Oh, Todd Phillips, how I
what
hate
a
you.
what a guy. What Academy Award nominee Todd God. Phillips. What a guy.
Speaking of throwing people off.
The Academy Award nominated director of The Hangover Part 3.
Yay.
So killing people when they become 72, yep. Definitely a pretty bad hot take. I like
yeah.
that.
Pretty bad. That's I mean, good. If you don't agree with it, it's a bad hot take.
I mean, right?
Right? I mean, we're all cops here, right? Safe spaces?
No. Cough.
Did you say we're all cops here?
Yeah, we're all cops here, right? I'm just kidding. I said amazing. Friends, but it's weird that you autocorrect.
No, I have that
your brain
thing.
Autocorrect to.
Do you remember that
cops.
Chrome extension that you could install that would replace the word millennials with the word snake people? Uh-huh. I have that, but audio, it's like a babblefish in my ear. And whenever someone says friends, I hear cops.
Yeah.
Because I'm a class traitor.
All right, next context.
Also, your Facebook connections must be very confusing. Yeah. For
you have 1,000 cops.
You have 1,000 cops.
House of 1,000 Cops, man. That is a shitty movie.
52 mutual cops.
God. AFAB, man. I tell you, all friends are bastards.
AFAC, all friends are cops.
That's good too. That's good too.
Is Copster still a thing?
Copster?
Yeah, is that still a thing?
Yeah, I think God.
So. Oh, wow. Jesus that's H. That's so good. That's so very good.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, thank you for this giggle, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's do another one.
Let's
yeah.
please.
What product placement is hiding in this movie?
What product?
Oh,
fuck. I walked over a joke. Whatever. It's gone. It's gone. It's done gone. Now. What product placement's hiding in this movie? I was gonna say a really bad one. I'm not gonna do that.
Cricket mallets.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Cricket mallets. I think if you zoom in, there's a brand on the side that's like Horace's best smackers, and that's what I want to buy now is Horace's best smackers.
Good for crushing skulls.
Yeah, and good
Gallagher
for
approved
crushing your competition
in that croak
game of croak. Yeah, exactly.
Truthfully,
yeah.
if Gallagher were using that mallet, I mean, what could he accomplish?
How much better and or so much worse would this movie be if instead of everyone looking over to the person holding the mallet, if it just cut to Gallagher and he kind of like blondled up and just blondled. I feel like that's a description for how Gallagher rocks.
No, I get it.
Like it's an effective
it.
Made up
word. I wanted to make sure that it's a
he
made blondled. Up word that we keep.
Yeah,
it's
blondled.
Very
he blondles up.
Blondled.
Yeah. And just whacks the shit out of that person.
Yeah, but not before saying ponchos up and everybody lifts
yeah,
their ponchos
up.
The front row.
I feel like there's a way to edit that scene where that could be real and I don't know how, but someone
like
on the internet
can figure it out.
Please help us at Contextual Deviants, at Text Deviants.
Yeah, if anyone in Argentina has any video editing skills.
Anyone in Argentina has any, or just any thoughts in general that they would like to send our way, we love Argentina and want to hear from everyone there.
Tell. Wow, that really sounds like you hate Argentina.
No, I just don't understand.
I know, but it sounds
you
like you hate Argentina.
I love Argentina.
Anyway, put Gallagher in the movie and it would be better. Was that the question?
Yeah, I think so.
Moving on.
Let's see, product placement.
Product placement.
Floral arrangements.
Floral Ooh. Arrangements, yeah. Ooh. Actually, yes.
It actually could be because that's a great Halloween costume.
Like, yeah,
that is.
That is actually very
a
good.
A great slash terrible Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Great in the sense that it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Terrible in the sense that...
That sucks.
Your mobility is incredibly limited.
You could just do crown stage. Like, not full dress stage, just crown stage. Because there are points in the film where she's wearing a dress...
And
a
then
crown
like putting crowns on her, but it's not like she's the part where she's like all
she
fucking
is
flowers.
Flowers.
Well,
that's tough.
Unless the frame around it where all the flowers are like arranged is just like really wide and she just has full movement underneath there and she's all like,
oh, that'd be kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah.
Like those old timey, like Victorian era dresses.
The wire.
That, you know, the wire thing and it just poofed way the fuck
so
out.
So it's definitely a bigger craft project, but if you can pull it off. You're comfy and
you're
just like
cozy.
Sitting in a big mascot costume, but it's flowers.
Yeah, nobody can see the catheter that you have going on.
You're just playing some switch in there.
That would be the worst part.
You would need to.
That would be the worst part.
Flowers like piss.
Yeah.
You could just pee.
Yeah, flowers like piss.
Flowers like piss.
Hey guys, flowers like piss, am I right? It's me, Gallagher.
Oh yeah, you did sound like him.
Yeah.
Smack, you're 72.
Splat.
Splat, splat, smack, smack, 72.
Gallagher.
He's got to be 71.
Hold on.
Did he?
He's ready. What if he smashes his own face when he's 72?
That would be strange.
You're right. I think another product that could be placed in this movie is... Oh, God, let's see. Oh, it's tough because like the village is very anti-products.
Yeah.
That's kind of part of it.
Well, but I mean, it could also be like just like handmade furniture and stuff.
Oh, you're
like,
totally
there could
right.
Be like,
yeah,
like an
yeah.
Amish furniture store or something yeah, like that. That's yeah. like, you want to buy the chairs for Midsummer? What's up?
How
What's
old is Gallagher?
Face? He turned 73 in July.
No way. Oh, my God.
Like right when this movie came out.
We got to smash his face.
We got to smash his face. It's the end.
Yeah. Sorry, Gallagher.
We got to let him know that his face got to get smashed.
Gallagher. Oh, no. You're going to really hate hearing this news, but, you know, rules are rules.
Rules are rules.
Oh, man. So RIP Gallagher. Let's see. Amish furniture.
Amish furniture is a good one because I do like the, like, it's not really, they paid to have a bunch of really cool handmade stuff in there. And then they were like, okay, we're going to run an ad campaign that features Midsummer because everybody has super positive feelings about being in that village and wanting their village to look like this village.
Yes.
So you have a village? Come on down to Pete's Amish shit and we'll make you a big old room full of like bugs and stuff.
Yeah, come on down to It Makes a Village.
It Makes a Village.
That's not bad. I like that. I've got
actually,
a real...
you could name a village company that.
Yeah, you know, a village company.
You know those pop-up houses that Sears used to sell?
They're the ones who did YMCA, right?
Village company.
Hey, here's a real one that's going to sound like a fake one, but wait.
Sound like a fake
the
one?
The Swedish Tourism Board. Now, hold on. Mm. It doesn't... It might not reflect well on Sweden to have a death cult in
it's beautiful.
But it's so fucking pretty.
It's so beautiful.
It's so pretty. Everyone's so friendly. And, you know, you don't have to go to that village.
Yeah, there's lots of
them. There's lots of other places.
Where they
other
don't places.
They even name a bunch of them when they're talking about places
going
they're going to go. But they're not
going to
go there.
Yeah.
Nope. But now you can.
Yeah.
And you won't have to deal with any of that
Here's
stuff.
The thing. What's great about those places, they're in the opposite direction of where they went.
Yeah.
They even say
you're totally right. They said, no, everything that is good about Sweden is over there.
Yeah.
And we went to this bad one.
We went upside down.
Yeah.
And then we flipped over and now we're here.
Yeah. And we're here.
Yeah.
Ta-da, they did go upside down.
They went upside down.
Stranger Things Season 4, Midsummer.
Mm.
Prove me wrong.
Next shit, context. We should have used that for hot takes.
Oh, shit. This is a pilot for Stranger Things.
Wait. Product placement, Stranger Things. Because they do so many upside down shots.
They go upside down, and you think, oh, they went upside down. Oh, the upside down. I should watch Stranger Things.
Yep.
It works.
That's how they get you every time.
That is how they get you.
Weird fertility incense.
Ooh,
that
ooh,
you yeah, that you yeah. breathe in and it makes you fuck good.
So
ooh
Whole Foods yeah.
sleeping medications.
Oh, they're, sleeping pills.
Yeah, sleeping pills every night. Hey, can I get one of those sleeping pills? That's like one of the only products that like comes up often. It's not named, but it's like there.
So GNC.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like
yeah, just in general.
Shit.
Yeah.
Garbage
holistic
that's a lie.
Holistic shit garbage that's a lie.
Holistic
Absolutely.
Shit garbage that's a lie.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe maypoles, like to dance around?
Yeah, maypoles.
Like that kind of thing?
Yeah, big maypole is all over this movie. big maypole with their fucking greasy little digits
always,
all over this
movie. Always trying to get teens to dance around a big stick.
You know, and haven't we as a culture suffered enough under their thumb?
Under their thumb, their giant floral thumb. Yeah, big maypole's got... Oh.
Big maypole, Polaroids. Or no, that wasn't a Polaroid. It was just like a camera.
Just frame walls.
frame walls. Yes. Yeah.
You
so
know,
good.
Design magazines. Actually, maybe.
Yeah.
Because
there
are a lot of the aesthetics in this movie are very...
How about wallpaper? Because I feel like wallpaper's gone way out of fashion.
Yeah, I love it, though.
Which is a good thing,
yeah.
But,
no.
Yes. Depends.
Christian, you just keep the podcast afloat real quick. Bon and I are going to have a fist fight.
Just, to the death real quick.
Oh, sure.
Just to the death. Like, it'll be fast because we're both really weak and frail.
Yeah, we'll give up.
We're
that's
like,
fine.
Yeah. No, both of us will give up and kill ourselves. It'll be great because we're both so weak.
But here's the thing. You got this.
You got this, though. Just carry it real quick while we have a fight.
I just really fucking hate wallpaper.
And I love it so much. What I love about it is how hard it is to take off.
That's the best part of it, right?
I'm so sorry. I mean, I was hoping we could do some more episodes, but I guess...
No,
I guess,
this is it.
I guess Bon and David are about to fight to the death.
This is the hill. This is
mutually agreed destruction.
We found a hill. We're going to both die on it.
Yes. You know, I'm going to put as much paper on the ground as I can before I go.
Of all the characters to emulate from 2019, Gigi is not the one I was expecting from the two of you.
Ooh, good call. Good call.
That's a Booksmart poll. Mm. We just rewatched that movie again the other day.
It's so nice.
It's so fun. Good. It's such a good, pleasant hug of a movie.
Yeah. Yes. Not like this one.
No, this one is not a hug. It's pretty.
It's pretty.
Do you feel held by this one?
That is... too good.
Yep.
And I wish you hadn't said it.
Oh. You're welcome.
Just kidding. So Big Maypole, what else we got? Anything else?
It's tough.
Anymore? I mean, I was thinking about whatever computer she was using, maybe, but I couldn't remember.
It could have been just, you know, a Dell or something.
So it would have been bad product placement. Yeah, right.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Rubber tubing. Ooh, skip it. Delete it.
I was going to say whatever that car was.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
They linger on that car for a bit.
Oh, garage door openers in a very, like, low-key way.
Carbon monoxide detectors.
Carbon monoxide detectors. Ooh, there we go.
Install them.
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide detectors
actually, that's a good one. That's
holy
a really
shit.
Good one.
Oh, no.
A really good one that we don't want to think about.
No, but it is a good one. Let's move on.
Yep. Yeah. Let's do another context.
Feminist theory.
Feminist theory.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is a movie to do it for. Too.
Oh, yeah. This is a rich little dinner that we've provided. That you've Can we just cancel the podcast? Can it be over?
Oh my God!
I don't think I've ever gone from I'm excited to I hate this faster than that 3 seconds.
No,
but wow!
I'm 100. I was with you that entire ride.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Oh, God damn it!
Even got to the same destination.
Oh,
like,
wow! Like, oh. Well, at least we got off on the same stop.
Yep.
Feminist theory, huh? Ladies are cool.
Yeah.
That's all I got. What do you got going on over there, bud? What do you got?
Bad boyfriends suck.
Okay. No, it's so fun to unpack. Let's go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of relational symbolism between men and women. I think especially within the village. There is so much history in the intricate drawings that we've discussed on the walls and paintings and things related to women and men falling in love. Or the one about the love spell.
Yeah.
And how that whole thing works is anyone's guess. They have those like charms that you put under someone's bed to cast a spell on them, and they all know what it means.
Yeah.
And it's this kind of weird thing where women, in some ways, their village has a traditionalist patriarchal structure where there are men sort of leading
the
households,
like
the and
elders.
Women, elder men.
Yeah.
It seems like the women are leading.
Too,
There's a matriarchy too, because the women are leading a lot of the ceremonies.
Right.
You know, the women have that sort of the mother of that one, or is she even her mother or whatever? The one elder woman in the village who tells Christian that he can have sex with that
approves.
That girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That and the only good joke in the whole movie, like the only real joke in the movie, is when I can't remember even what she says, but at the end of that scene when he says something to her, that's right, I think I ate one of her pubes, and she's like, that sounds right.
That sounds right.
And then it just hard cuts to the next scene.
The hard cut makes it even better.
That was very good. That was a necessary moment of levity. So there's a confusing sort of, not confusing, but I just think it's an interesting contrast to what we see out of specifically Danny and Christian's relationship when they're in America, and how he has his group of bros and they're telling him he should break it off with her.
Because she has emotions.
Basically because she's too emotionally needy and whatever. And then she feels the need to apologize for everything. That scene where she is upset with him about not telling her about the Swedish trip.
Yeah. I think that scene in general is huge.
Yep. So, and then it transferring to her apologizing for being mad at him about the Swedish trip is like, it is gaslighting. It is, every horrible emotionally abusive boyfriend trope in one scene. And it's powerful.
Yeah.
It's too real is the problem.
Yeah.
And I think being able to see the sort of the way that there's sort of like a sisterhood in the village that she, you know, there isn't, I don't think she talks to another woman until she gets to the village. I don't even know that there's another female character.
Besides her sister.
And
she wasn't able to.
Oh, wait, no, she was on the phone with a woman at the beginning, but they don't ever, I don't even think they've addressed
her. That was like a friend, right?
Yeah, it was just like a friend.
Yeah, she was just talking about how she wanted to like, Christian was probably going to break up with him.
Yeah, she's worried she was like putting too much on him or something.
Yeah, that's right. But they were unnamed. But the beginning of the movie is trying to get and having a good, seems like fruitful conversation with a female friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then has a conversation with Christian in it. It's not good. So it's a good foil. It's a good way to start the movie, actually, from that perspective. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. So she's sort of immersed in this sort of male perspective, this male group that she's with pretty much the whole way until she gets there. And then she, over the course of her time in the village, encounters more women. She, you know, spends more time with them cooking. She dances with them. She goes to these different events that the women are sort of leading. And then she has that incredible scene where she is just screaming and crying because she saw Christian having sex with that other woman.
Jeez.
And they all are screaming and crying with her. And it becomes this sort of collective sorrow.
She experiences true empathy with other women. And they fully emotionally connect with her.
Yep.
And basically they share the same emotion. They like meld.
Yeah.
Like an instance of like pain and it's interesting. Yeah.
It's and it's great so good because it's so intentional in the way that that scene is juxtaposed with the scene after we see her sister and her parents dead. And then it cuts to her screaming, crying on Christian's lap, like laying across him. Mm. And then it zooms out the window and Midsummer comes up. But like he is just kind of dead. He's just sitting there letting it happen. And not feeling anything along with her in that moment.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, from the time she calls and tells him, or is like screaming on the phone, like, no, no, no. To the party scene, or to the scene before the party where he wakes her up to go to the party, I don't think he says like anything to her.
Yeah.
He doesn't acknowledge the pain she's going through at all verbally.
Yeah.
So I think, and I mean, we can obviously assume that there was a conversation in there somewhere, the way that the fact
but it's not
the movie
shown. That's
the,
He's visibly experiencing something emotionally when they do zoom out. Like he is emotional, but it's not clear what part of it is actually making him emotional.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we know that he kind of wants to break up with her.
Yeah, I think
so. He's probably thinking, shit, I can't break up with her right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not, this is horrible. I need to support this human being that's in front of me.
It's like, this is horrible, and I have to be around this for like that seems to be like the tragedy that he's
as opposed to, we don't know this person hardly at all, but they're having pain, and we're going to rally around that pain and help them through that pain, like the women of the village do.
Yep.
Pretty heavy juxtaposition.
Yep.
And that, I mean, some of that is sort of like a, you could see that through a feminist lens. You could also just see that through just a human empathy lens in general, and just showing the differences in empathy between groups of people.
Sure. Although I do think it tells us something about at least nurture in terms of how men are raised to be versus how women are raised to be, and how shitty how toxic in that specific way and other ways Christian is.
Well, and Mark and Josh aren't much better. They don't really
they
don't really seem to react to her emotional distress.
Not really. Pele's the one that sort of says, Pele's, hey, I'm sorry that you went through that sounded painful, and he was raised by people that talked about their feelings.
Yep.
Surprise. So that actually is a good angle. I know we've talked about feminism before and then said, and also what about toxic masculinity and how this movie can show soft, gentle masculinity or intellectual masculinity or something that's not just being a piece of meat. Yep. And he's a good example of that.
Yeah. And I think the sort of like, I don't know. There's a certain bro-y competitiveness to the three guys that I think is not shared by the other characters in the film. And as Danny becomes more a part of the village and their activities, even unwillingly, it becomes clear that just how different this world is from what she's experienced before. and what she's been surrounded by for so long.
Yeah, because like her, I'm assuming like her main group of people that she hangs out with are these guys, just because she's with her boyfriend, and then he seems like, yeah, the type that's right. Like, no, we hang out with my friends.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah,
and they always just treat her like she's just like this emotional baggage that they have to deal with, and put up with, and like reins in all their fun or whatever. And so, yeah, it's
the whole thing about whether she was even going on the trip with them in that scene. What I mean, it was so frustrating in so many ways, but just the way they talk about her, yeah, like baggage. You're right. Like it's like she's a weight that they're dragging around rather than a person who's going through a really traumatic experience. And you know, again, you could see that as a feminist reading. You could see that as just a general statement on empathy.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's necessarily a gendered component other than the fact that these are all male figures that she is surrounded by, and she doesn't have female companionship or friendship or really any interaction with a female on screen until she gets to the village.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it does, simply because of the fact that all the people that rally around her in the village are women.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even though it does, the movie does not draw a line that says men can't do this, because Pele also does that.
Yeah. The men of the village are also they welcome her in.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, they don't see her as a problem the friends do, but I think it's explicit.
Even the one friend that she talks to on the phone before they leave, like, she's even like, well, if he's your boy, you should be able to talk to him. Like,
yeah.
She's
yeah,
the one
exactly.
that's like talking Danny down from, like, it's like, no, like, that's not a burden for your boyfriend. Like, that's
right.
your
no,
boyfriend.
It shouldn't be. And if it is,
maybe he shouldn't be your boyfriend anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And that could be, yeah, it's a good point that she basically does lay that out right at the beginning.
So here's the thought that I think we should also, we got to think about it. The way the movie ends, how does that fit in to feminism and feminist theory? Like, her sort of becoming a part of this culture and murdering the man that was wronging her, essentially, or saying that it was cool, at least, to have him die. Like, I mean, you know, she doesn't really murder him, but she does, and she's happy.
I mean, like, he gets murdered, she doesn't stop it, and then she smiles about
it. And then she smiles about
dying.
It. Yeah. Like, so that was my favorite part about the movie, because it was such a choice.
Yeah.
Like, it really was like, oh, wow, that could have gone a lot of ways, and it went this one. Okay. But I still don't know. It's empowering in a way. Like, it feels very good because we watched Christian be shitty for 2 hours.
It's like the burning of her final piece of trauma, basically.
Yeah.
It's like cleansing it.
Mm-hmm.
But literal.
But literally killing someone.
But then there's also the question of, like, but she didn't ask for this. She didn't have the agency to say, like, you should kill him. Well,
it's implied because she looks at him when they say, like, which one should we?
Yeah, that's true. No, she does say that one will die.
But the fact that she's forced to choose between, like, you have, one of these people is going to die,
one
and
of them's
you have to pick.
Yeah. One of them's gung-ho, one's your drugged-up boyfriend.
Yeah. So that's,
one of them's gung-ho, he was.
So I just feel like it's an interesting movie where if you track Danny's agency throughout the movie, she rarely has power or control over her own destiny or her choices or anything, really. She is almost always being dragged from one place to another, being told what to do, being confused about what's happening and just told to go with it. Being drugged, being draped with flowers, being forced to eat a fish.
Yeah, that's right.
The whole thing.
And it's like she never really gains that independent agency that I think is something that a lot of female characters in horror films especially don't get until maybe at the end if they kill the bad guy, you know?
Right. Or escape the bad guy and kick them into
a well
or something. Yeah,
because she is never an active participant in the actual cleansing of those problems. She is dealing with her own trauma, and they accept it and they take it on, but they also basically don't let her not, you know, they don't let her choose.
They're basically just like, Yas Queen, slay.
Yeah. Yas Queen, now you must slay.
Yas Queen slay is a great description for the third act of this movie. That's it. It's just, yes, Queen. Slay.
Wouldn't it be Yas Queen slay?
Yeah.
Yas Queen, Yas Queen slay.
Yas Queen slay.
Yas Queen slay.
Yuck.
Sorry. Yeah.
I like the inversion. Maybe cut that. Of nope. No, I am forever. Locking it in. I actually just hit the button on my recorder that says cannot be deleted.
Oh no.
Sorry.
That very specific button yeah. that only this model has.
Yeah, I had it installed. All of the bells and whistles for me.
They do it in Canada.
For this show.
No expense has been spared. I think the inversion of the... This is like a really granular thing, but I think it's fun, so I wanted to share it. The classic woman has to choose between two men at the end of a movie idea is which one is she going to, you know, kiss? I like that at the end of this movie, she has to choose between two men, so which one's going to burn in the building, the bad house. I think that's fun. I think that's fun that her love triangle is like kill triangle. I think that's pretty cool, and I'm into that.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm pretty into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my thing.
It's my thing.
Put me in a bear and burn me alive, baby.
I just need you to smile.
Oh.
Oh no, don't. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Oh, I hit the button again, but by accident. No. We can't cut it. Sorry, I hit
trapped
it.
Trapped forever.
I keep hitting the button. Nobody can ever delete their tweets again.
No, what I meant is that for it to work, you need to smile.
Yeah, I know. We all know.
Oh, no. It's too late.
Oh, no. Even that was bad.
Oh, no. Even that was bad is the story of my life. Yikes.
At the very least, title of your sex tape.
Hey. At the very least is there. The title of my sex tape.
Oh. It's like an unknown sequel to As Good As It Gets. As Good As It Gets.
A good again. Starring Jack Nicholson.
Is that A Good At Again is how I pronounce Mayor Pete's last name.
It's harder to hashtag.
Yeah.
So true.
Boys, we did a whole episode. It's episode 50. We did it.
We did it.
We talked about Midsommar in a series of contexts. Which were product placement?
What if this movie was made 20 years ago or 20 years in the future?
Good call.
Feminist theory, because I cannot remember the third
feminist
one.
Feminist theory, and then there was, hot takes.
Hot takes.
Bad Spicy. Hot takes. I still love the people in trees should have lines.
If you're going to put faces in the trees, they should have lines.
At least.
Oh, fuck me. Well, guys, this has been a blast and a half. I was wondering real quick if you could indulge me. Matthew, do you have any plugs?
I am on Twitter at mbonbon. Political retweets, which are a bummer lately. Been a bad week. Been a real bad week.
Been a bad 2020?
Been a bad 2020. Been a bad 3 years.
It's
been bad for a bit. But there's also puppy retweets in there.
Yeah.
So.
Lots of puppy.
Yeah. Sometimes some video game stuff. I don't know. Yeah. But in terms of some pop culture I like to leave people with, I can't remember. Did I already talk about Harley Quinn, the animated series on here?
I think so.
I did. Okay, that's what I thought. Medical Police.
Hey. Ooh.
It is a show on Netflix. It is a follow-up to an Adult Swim series called Children's Hospital, which was a 10-minute series that was just about as goofy as a show can get, just about people working in a children's hospital that is... full of doctors that are questionable at best. But this one is about the doctors being cops now.
So they're both doctors and also cops now.
Yeah, they're doctor cops.
Amazing.
They're doctor cops.
And it's wonderful. Yes. Erin Hayes is a treasure, and everyone should know her name.
She's I do. Great.
Oh, good. Well, congratulations. We're good.
Yeah, we did it.
That's it. I'm everyone. It's me, everyone.
I straw pulled in the room. We all know who she is, so that means everywhere. All right, but that's all I got.
With 62% reporting, we all know their faces.
The 62 is going to be good for quite some time.
So ridiculous. All right, David, do you have anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, baby. I'm on two other podcasts that aren't this one. Surprise!
Ooh.
They're called The Hypotheticast and they're called The Fable Forge. One's about D&D and one is about hypothetical questions and games and improv. If you like that shit, stay far away from The Hypotheticast. and listen to the Fable Forge instead. Ha 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 ha. Just kidding. I don't know. Find me.
Find me. Don't at me.
Find me. Don't at me.
Find me. Don't at me.
Swiper. No swiping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Take that, Swiper.
Poor Swiper can't online date at all.
Aw.
Aw.
Aw. Well, boys, it is one of those times
where you give your plugs.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, shit.
I'm on, I might not be on Twitter very much longer. I'm thinking about deleting it because it sucks.
Yeah. Optional bird app.
Optional bird app, indeed.
Yeah.
In the meantime, my playlists are still up on Spotify. Find me at Audio Suede, yes. AudioSuede. I make way too many playlists, and they are public, yeah. And you can listen to them.
They're very good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And then I guess I also have a pop culture thing, which I'll think of right now. So The Witcher's been pretty good. Yeah. I'm not done with it yet, but I liked what I've seen. It's very cheesy. In a sort of like Hercules Xena kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like done with the budget to back it up.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
And it also, and I honestly, I think like once you get into the Yennefer stuff, that's honestly when the show really kicks into high gear because it's just, you know, I find her character very interesting.
Did you know that is her first acting gig is Witcher?
Well, that's infuriating.
Yeah.
Because she's very good.
She's very good. Same with Ciri. Both of them, that's their first job.
Wow. The first job they've ever had.
Yeah, ever.
Well, with Ciri, probably because she's, like 13?
Probably older than that.
15, 16, 15, 16, whatever.
Yeah. At best.
At fucking best.
At the very least. All right, guys. Enough fucking around. David, did you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with this week?
A clinical nightmare concedes your misrepresented nun.
Thank you for listening to Contextual Deviance. You can find more information about us online at our website, contextualdeviance.wordpress.com. You can tweet at us at textdeviance. You can email us at contextualdeviance@gmail.com. Thanks to Minneapolis' own The Bad Man for the use of their song Gun Tonic off the album Ain't Clean. This has been Contextual Deviance. My name is Christian Hagen, and have a nice day.
Have a nice day!